coming in. Okay. Keep waving. Blessed Lord, who always comes among your people for good, we confess to you that we are born sinful and both by nature and choice have turned away from you. We have become nothing, and Christ is our King, and they have ruled us as tyrants. We have failed to acknowledge your rightful lordship in our lives and in society. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, turn our hearts this day to worship and follow Jesus, the one true King. The King has won your freedom. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, our first reading is from Daniel 6. Verse 6-16. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the king officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to the house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, draw us near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
For the reading of our gospel. Our gospel is recorded in John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible,
You may be seated, and at this time, if the children would come forward. Good morning. How is everyone? Good. Did you have a good week? Ready for another good week? No? You're ready for a good week, right? Just not a bad one? Okay. Today we're going to talk about worship. What does worship mean to you? What do you think that means? Okay, you worship God and you do what He tells you to do, okay? Pray. Believing in Him. What else? Anything? Don't have any more gods except Him, okay, Trent? To praise Him. Okay, what? To follow God and be nice to people, read the Bible. Okay, who do you think is right? All of you. Right. Worship is, and none of you really said that because I think this is the first time, maybe this is an adult kid thing, but I think when I think of worship, what automatically comes to my mind is church, what we're doing right here today. But can we worship God other than when we're in church? We can worship Him. And really what worship is really recognizing who God is and what He's done for us. And so we can recognize God every single day in what He's doing in our lives, what He's giving us each day. How many of you wake up in the morning on a wood or dirt floor? Sometimes, if you're camping, okay, sometimes you choose maybe to sleep on a floor, but most of us probably roll out off of a bed and put our feet on the floor, right? Do any of you ever stand up and say, "Thank you, God, for this bed you gave me last night"? If you got a good sleep, okay. Most of you probably eat some kind of breakfast, don't you? Yeah. And some people aren't breakfast people, but some people are. And do you think in the morning when you get that breakfast, "Whoa, thank you God for giving me something to eat today"? And actually, as you get a little older, you may even stand up out of the bed and say, "Oh, thank you Lord for giving me the breath of air today and the ability to stand up on my two legs," right? Yeah. Yeah, and because you can always look around and find people who aren't, that don't have some of these things, right? And so we really have a lot to worship God for, to thank Him for everything that He's given us, and most importantly, the life He gives us through through Jesus, right? Emery. You fell out of your bed. That's not good. The floor can be pretty hard when you hit, can it? Or did you wake up? You didn't wake up. Boy, I think I would wake up if I hit the floor. So anyway, we thank God for everything that He's given us, and especially His Son. And that's really what today is pointing to. We walked in as Jesus entered Jerusalem. Where is Jesus going to as He enters Jerusalem at the end of the week? Where will He be? Do you know? On Good Friday. Where will He wind up?
On the cross.
Be nailed to the cross to forgive us, to take our punishment, so that we have the promise of eternal life. Okay? So we can worship Him everywhere, right? All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for being our Savior, for dying for us, and giving us the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life. Help us to remember daily all that You have done for us and all that You give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day, and Lord, just an awesome opportunity to be here to worship you, to sing praises to you, and all that it means to give honor and merit to you for what you've done for us and what you give us each day. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds now as we talk about worship. Lord, what that means to us and what it looks like, and Lord, that we are here today to worship you. Lord, rid our minds of a few distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope I don't trip over these things here in a minute, but I grew up in your typical Lutheran church. You know, about 100 people, a little more on Sunday morning. Organ music, trumpets, and some instruments sometimes on Easter Sunday and Christmas Day. Everything was pretty predictable. You went to church, you did page 5 or 15 out of the front part of the hymnal, and that's just the way it was. My eyes were opened when I went with my family to the National LWML Convention in Omaha, Nebraska. I know my mom's here today. She was one of the voting delegates at that convention. We had this huge, massive opening service in a coliseum. People seated, thousands of people seated all around us. The music, it was an organ, and I best I remember had all sorts of instruments, like an orchestra accompanying them. The service was a special order of service that was laid out just for that convention. And I thought, is this Lutheran? There's too many people here. There's too many instruments involved with the music. And we're not using page 5 or 15. What is worship? When I moved to California to take my first placement out of the seminary, I promise you that we lived in the flattest, hottest place in the United States. But what amazed me about that is that it was flat and we were at sea level, but yet there was no water there. In a town about 20, 30 miles northwest of us, Calipatria, there was a flagpole with a sign on it that claimed to be the tallest flagpole in the world, 184 feet tall. Why 184 feet tall? Because the top of it was at sea level. So you would go from Hopeville or the Imperial Valley where we lived and Calipatria was, you would go from sea level to below sea level. About 60 miles away, you would climb a mountain range. At least that's what we called it. A lot of people don't call it mountains, but when you go from sea level to 4,100 feet, they were mountains. And what was incredible about that is as you started going up from the Imperial Valley side, it looked like literally someone had dumped loads and loads and loads of round boulders. And I'm thinking Colorado, Rocky Mountains? No, this was not it. But yet as we drove up the mountain, I couldn't help but think, wow. This is incredible. I mean, to see God's maybe creative work and even His humor in all of these boulders that's just balancing on each other and laying off to the side. And I thought, wow, the diverse landscape that God has placed in our world today. What is worship? Is worship something we do individually, or is it something we do corporately together? Is worship something that we do only on Sunday mornings, or is worship something that we do every single day? Is worship more of a formal thing where we have an organ and a choir singing, or is worship more of an informal thing where you have a keyboard and a guitar and maybe a few song leaders? You see, it can get a little bit confusing at times if we let it. She was confused, most certainly, that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. As she comes to that well and Jesus is sitting there, of course she doesn't recognize who he is. All she knows is that he is a man and that he is a Jew. And she's confused that a man and a Jew would even have a conversation with a Samaritan woman. She's confused because most certainly a man would never ask a woman for a drink of water. And she even gets more confused when he begins to pry in on her personal life and he gets everything right. But she finally begins to catch on. This guy is a pretty smart fellow. And realizes that there's something special about him. I just want to reread a portion of our gospel reading, John chapter 4, verses 19 and following. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." You see what Jesus is saying, the Jewish people definitely had their customs, their practices, and they had their specific place that they were to worship, and that was in the temple at Jerusalem. And it involved all the animal sacrifices and all the rituals and all the laws of the Old Testament. The Samaritans in this passage denote that they had their special place of worship. But Jesus breaks that down and says there's going to be a time, and it's right now, that there's not going to be a specific place to worship. There's not going to be that place in Jerusalem that you have to go, or in Samaria that you have to go to worship. True worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not going to be about a location. It's not going to be about all the externals that we think it has to have for it to be worshiped. It's going to be about worshiping God. It really comes down to a heart thing. Why are we worshiping? And it really comes down to where it's not an either or, it's a both and and. Is worship an individual thing, or is it a corporate public thing with others? Yes. Both. Is worship something we do on Sunday morning here one day a week, or is it something that we do every day of our life? Yes. Both. Or it should be. Is worship more of a formal thing with an organ and a choir, or is it more of an informal thing with a keyboard and a guitar and some praise leaders? Yeah. It can be both. It can be all of it. You see, worship is about our heart, where our attitude, where our mind is. It's not about all of the externals. It's where we come from internally with worship. You know, I thought about this, and this is really a tough subject. Because I know that everyone has an idea of what worship looks like. But that idea can sometimes be different for different people. You see, worship is all of it. Worship is an individual thing and it's a corporate thing. Hopefully most of us do some sort of worship during the week in our devotions, in our Bible reading, or we're, you know, just daily thanking God, like I told the little kid, thanking God that I can get out of bed in the morning and take my first steps without hurting too bad, right? But it's also a corporate thing, as we, the Hebrews passage said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, let us build each other up. So it's a corporate thing where we come together as individuals, encouraging each other, building each other up, supporting each other so that we're equipped to serve people in the world. And let me tell you, the world we live in today, we need all the support and encouragement that we can get. It's not a place that we come here to tear each other down and to be critical about every single thing that's going on. It's about being encouraging, uplifting, supporting each other so that we're equipped to serve God in the world. It is about worshiping on Sunday morning. It is about worshiping every single day of the week. If you took God out of your life during the week, how empty would you feel? How many of us rely on God each and every single day, knowing that He's helping us walk through some of the challenges and difficulties that He's placed in our midst that we would love to get rid of, but yet hopefully at some point we look back and say, now I see. You know, praise God that He was with me. Now I see, I can look back and think, wow, what an incredible God we have each and every day. Not just on Sunday mornings. You see, worship is a hunger. It's a thirst for God and what He's done for us and what He continues to do for us. Our key point really says it all, I think, as we look at that. I worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. Would you say that with me? I worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. In our key verse, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. God intends worship partly to be what we put into it. And you know, I told the Bible class this morning, I said, you know, I thought about this, and I don't know if I've thought about it off and on, even before I was a pastor, because someone mentioned it before. But what do we do to prepare for worship? You know, do we really do anything? And I said years and years ago, you had to go to the pastor, the parsonage, or the church office to register for communion. And that was, in a way, a preparation for the Lord's Supper. But we've lost a lot of that. And I said, what do we really do to prepare for Sunday morning? And I thought, well, when we had kids, we were lucky to fall out of the bed and get our clothes on and get to church on time. That was the thought process that went through our minds getting ready for church, right? Maybe some of us get up and either while you're eating a little bit of breakfast before you get here or on the way into town or out to the church, you're thinking, I wonder what in the world Pastor Rich is going to come up with this morning. Or maybe some of us truly sit there and think, you know, I am so glad that God has given me the breath of life today. I am so glad that I get to go to church this morning to worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't even care what goes on because I'm going to pour my heart in to worshiping my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what worship is. It's about thirsting and hungering for God. It's about giving Him praise and glory for all that He's done for us and all that He has given to each of us. He sent His Son, which we, entering this morning with the palms, are reminded of Him entering Jerusalem, headed to the cross at the end of the week. And those shouts of joy turning to shouts of crucifying. And He was crucified, nailed to the cross. Blood was shed to cover our sins, to take the punishment that we deserve, so that we could be free, and so that we have the promise of eternal life. We certainly have, as I said last week, everything to be thankful for. And we need to remember it daily. May God continue to work in our hearts and in our lives, that we worship Him here, we worship Him each day of the week as we bring the saving love of Jesus Christ to the people around us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for our prayers. I'm going to include a petition in our prayers this morning for the quilts that are on the pews. These quilts were made by our quilting ladies. There's a total of 221 of them that will go out for Lutheran World Relief. I was given a note here, too, that Lutheran World Relief distributed 332,592 quilts to 19 countries in 2015. And I think we had 260-something, I think, last year that were a part of that. And then we have quilters from St. Paul's Ailman, St. John's, and then even some other community ladies who have come. And the quilting ladies wanted to thank our trustees for setting up the tables for them each week. But we will include a petition for these quilts, blessing them as they hopefully will touch the lives of people and they can see God's love through these quilts. Heavenly Father, we do come to You today asking that You would continue to be with us, that You would soften our hearts as we worship You And Lord, that just our whole attitude about who you are and what you've done for us can be changed, and Lord, that it is strengthened. Lord, that our understanding that you give us everything that we have and that you have won our freedom on the cross for us, that it is truly ours. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up those who are sick and struggling, especially those who are dealing with cancer. Lift up those that we name in our hearts and in the bulletin, and remember Kenneth Shrunk as well, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Lord, we also lift up Adrian Short, a young fella here in town that has had some seizures. And Lord, we just ask that you will be with him, strengthen his fragile body, and Lord, bring healing to it as well. Lord, we also pray for Stacy Rich this morning, that you would bring healing to her. Lord, help her to understand her worth to you and so many people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would be with our military and our local security, all of those who are involved with protecting our freedoms and also protecting us. Lord, we pray that you would give them strength and the ability to carry out their task. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up all of our missionaries, whether local and abroad. Lord, we also lift up the church plant that is trying to take place in the greater Fort Hood area by Grace Colleen and St. Paul the Grove. Lord, we ask that you would bring them a shepherd who will lead this church plant, and Lord, that you will find that right person to take on this task. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we lift up today all of these quilts that these ladies have put together for Lutheran World Relief. Lord, we pray, begin to pray now for the people who will receive them. And Lord, that their lives will be touched by the gospel message of who you are and how you provide for them each day. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we also pray now that as we prepare to come to your table, that we come with worthy hearts, that we repent of our sins, leave them at the foot of the cross, and come in a worthiness discerning the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our order of service on page 194 in the front part of your hymnal. And notice that some of the portions will be sung, the responses. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink from it all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Please stand. To the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this dietary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.